This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal. Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready. Yo, I'ma do it. Mama. Da. All right, can't play with so much. I haven't done the music in such a long time, and I really stopped because I was incorporating the video and doing the YouTube stuff, and YouTube is very I don't know, they go at you for that kind of stuff, so I was cutting it out. But haven't done video in a while. I'm still trying to rethink that concept and make sure I'm doing it the right way. I'm not just doing it to be doing it. But anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pan Society. And shout outs to moms. Shout out to moms. I'm recording this at the very tail end of Mother's Day, but I hope all the mothers out there had a great Mother's Day. And then shout out to everyone else, you know, who is listening. Like I say every week, I have to thank you first and foremost for taking some time out of your day to come chill with me, because you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. And on a day like today, we greatly appreciate moms. I had a weekend that has helped me further appreciate mothers, and we'll get to that. Let's see. A lot happened this week. You know, some things I'm not going to speak on because it's just not my thing. I don't like to draw too much attention or continue to bring eyes to something that I don't. It's just not my thing, and I don't have anything to say about it. So certain things I won't be talking about. But I did have an interesting week. Interestingly enough, I had another like situation walking from work with another person. I'm going to do this real quick because it wasn't as interesting, but I'm starting to think it's got to be me. Like if I'm having run-ins with people on a consistent basis, maybe it's me. But this time it wasn't lunchtime. This was after work. I was leaving work and I walk about a mile to a train station to catch the train, you know, back home. I work for the transit authority here. And so I ride the trains and stuff for free. So I might as well take advantage of it. Anyway, I'm walking and I'm walking on a fairly, in my mind, narrow sidewalk. And let me say, Austin is a very fit city. So in almost any street, there's a bike lane. And you have people down here that are like, they take it super serious. You know, they got the really expensive bikes and they wear the whole like Tour de France outfit, the straight spandex, and they got helmets and stuff, and they be riding in teams and taking turns doing the lead and you know, whatever they call drafting each other, all kinds of stuff. City's crazy. But Austin's a very fit city. Streets are designed for bikes. I'm walking on a narrow sidewalk. I think you can see where this is going. I'm walking and I got my headphones on. I got over the ear headphones. They are noise cancel. They got the thing where I could they're noise canceling, but you could flip a switch and get like the ambient sound from around you. And I guess if you're walking down the street, you should have that turned on so you can hear what's going on around you. I don't, because I like my music loud and you don't get as much volume if you turn that on. And I'm trying to shut you out. I'm trying to shut the world out. So it defeats the purpose for me to allow the ambient noise in. And I'm on a sidewalk. I'm not in traffic. You know, I'm not in a high crime area. I ain't worried about nobody robbing me or gunshots going off and I don't hear it. Something like, I'm not, these are not concerns. But anyway, so I'm walking and eventually I look over to my left and there's a guy on a bike riding past me. And where I'm at that time is like on a little curve of the sidewalk. So it's already narrow. And then like trying to pass somebody on a bike on this curved part could be even more difficult. But this is the point in which this person is, I guess, passing me on their bike. And as they're passing me, when I look over, I can see they're trying to get my attention or they're saying something to me and they're motioning around the head area and, you know, I guess like making a motion about something about my headphones. And it came across to me as if like maybe they were bothered by the fact that I had on headphones, couldn't hear them. And I guess I don't know if this is everywhere. I never been in the city that was this like bike heavy and like fit like this. So I'm not accustomed to that whole like their bike people coming up on you and they're like ringing their bell or saying on the right or on the left, something like that. So, you know, a person on a bike is coming in to like hug whatever side of the sidewalk. I say I'm on a narrow sidewalk and it is a bike lane. So I'm not expecting a bike to be trying to pass me on this sidewalk. And especially in this particular portion of the sidewalk, it's like, why would you pick now to try to pass somebody on a bike? But whatever. The dude is, that's not the point. The dude is passing me and he's doing all this motioning and stuff. And I look over and, you know, it takes you a second to register first that there's a person on a bike passing you. Then that they are trying to communicate with you via hand signals. And I'm trying to interpret the hand signals. And he's still moving at that point. Like he's not stationary. He didn't stop next to me. Maybe he slowed down, but he's still moving. So by the time I even registered that this person is trying to communicate with me, he's passed me, but he's still talking and still like making hand gestures. And then he turns the corner. So he's like perpendicular to me and he's still talking. He's probably a good like 10, 15 feet away from me at this point, still talking. And at some point I see him like just like he makes a gesture that comes across as like, whatever. And then he gives me a thumbs up and he, you know, turns the corner to the point where I can't see him anymore. And by the time I got to the corner, like he had disappeared. So maybe it was an aberration. Maybe it was all in my head. I ain't see it at all. But either he took off and sped off on his bike because I was the only thing impeding his progress or something, or he didn't exist in the first place. But it dawned on me during this interaction. It's like, I don't know. My immediate thing is who was right and who was wrong. That's where I go because I don't like to be wrong. So it's like, you know, I'm on a sidewalk. There's a bike lane. You know, yes, I had on headphones and I couldn't hear. So if you were trying to tell me that you were on the right so that you could pass me, I didn't hear it. At some point, I think that was apparently clear. And so if that's a problem, then my bad. You know, I'm probably still going to do it tomorrow. So just as a bike rider, maybe be aware of that and be prepared for it. But then it hit me that like maybe it wasn't the right or wrong that bothered me. It was the fact that your issue appeared to be that you were upset that I couldn't hear you. And so you talked to me for an extended period of time, for several seconds, motioning and doing all kinds of stuff, trying to communicate with me as I have still not taken the headphones off. And then you give me a thumbs up as if I was waiting for it, like as if I needed the approval. You were talking to yourself the whole time and you knew it because you knew I couldn't hear you. So what was the whole, like, you know, I was extremely annoyed, especially with the thumbs up, like as if I was like, oh, he's angry at me. Oh, no, everything's OK. OK, he gave me the thumbs up. I feel OK now. No, I never even stopped to register to give a fuck about how you felt. Because you didn't stop. You continue to move. You just making hand gestures and sounds that you know I can't hear. So if you were attempting to communicate with me, it was the dumbest, most futile attempt I can think of. And then that thumbs up just pissed me off. As if I don't give a fuck if you okay with the situation as you pulling off now. Like if you somehow came to terms to it through that monologue that you were having. I don't know. I didn't need that. That was for you. You didn't need the thumbs up to me. So if I see you again on the street, know I'm going to have my headphones on and I can't hear you. And now I don't want to. So that's who we are. But it's got to be me. I realize in describing the incident to you guys that I'm an asshole, that I was the asshole in this situation. I still think this guy was an asshole, but I contributed to it. I wasn't 100% innocent. This wasn't just a bunch of drunk girls riding past me screaming woohoo and not acknowledging the fact that I smiled back. This was a different situation. Like, you know, maybe I was in the wrong. I'm in the street. Not in the street. I'm on the sidewalk. Anyway, I wasn't aware of my surroundings. And I was in the way or whatever. And he needed to let me know. He needed to have like a full on 30-second conversation with me while still riding his bike about me being in the way. I don't give a fuck. You got past me. The situation is the situation ended when you got past me. The continued conversation was for what? Especially with a person whose your issue is that he can't hear you, but you're still talking to me. And I have made no effort to remove the headphones from my head. None. Zero. I fucking hate these people. I talked to y'all so I can get it out. And now I actually feel dumb. I actually feel like an asshole as I've tried to describe the situation and make this person seem like the bad person. I clearly see where I was wrong in all this. So it's got to be me. And I don't see myself changing. Anyway, that was my walking from work story. What else happened to me this week? I have some main topics I want to get to, but I'm trying to knock the other stuff out first. Black Star dropped the album. They dropped their, I guess, the follow up to their classic album. Man, I can't even think of the name of the Black Star album anymore. But maybe it was just Black Star. Mos Def and Talib Kweli are Black Star. I don't remember the name, if it had a name. But this one was No Fear of Time. And it dropped on the 3rd. And they did it in an interesting way. They put it on Luminary, which is pretty much a podcast, you know, distributor. They have a couple of, not a couple, they have several original shows that they distribute, and it's a pay service. And so I've been listening to Midnight Miracle, which is Talib Kweli, Mos Def, and Dave Chappelle, or Yasiin Bey and Dave Chappelle. And then I also, every once in a while, I listen to Talib Kweli's The People's Party podcast on Luminary. And then they made the announcement that they were finally putting out this second Black Star album, but it was going to be exclusive to Luminary. And I was like, finally, something that I forgot to cancel is going to pay off for me. I got the Luminary subscription just to listen to Midnight Miracle. And then when that kind of slowed down, I thought it was over. I planned to shut it off, and I didn't. And, you know, so I got a chance to hear the Black Star album. I understand why they released it the way that they did, you know. But Yasiin seemed to be, you know, pretty adamant about wanting, you know, that this is art, that he has put, you know, his heart and soul, and this is his life that he's, you know, given you. And he wants to feel fairly compensated for the artwork that he creates. And that, you know, when you look at monetization through streaming, you know, and I see it as a person who's doing it, not that I'm making any money, but I mean, yeah, you know, the amount of downloads or plays I have to put out to make any sort of money is astronomical for someone who's just, you know, who probably got like 3 people to listen to this show. So I'm never going to be profitable until I reach a bigger, but it has to be a substantially bigger audience, like just a crazy audience. And, you know, Yasiin has made comments about like the fraction of a penny, like who looked at a penny and decided that you could break it into pieces to be distributed to the people who are the core of the art, the creators. Like, why do they get the smallest portion of this thing? And these are the people that these platforms couldn't exist if there wasn't art to put on them. That's a long discussion to have about just where the album got dropped. But the album is dope. Super dope. It's fairly short. I thought it was going to be more, but I'm not trying to complain. I feel like if I complain at all, Mos Def is just going to show up behind me, and Yasiin is going to show up behind me, and like, I don't know. He wouldn't hit me, but he would have a stern. I would get a stern talking to, and it would feel. I would definitely feel assholish for that because I have so much respect and admiration for Yasiin Bey. But yeah, it's a great album. People are describing it as Afro-futuristic. I don't know what that means. Like, I've heard it described as like futuristic, but having a vintage soul sound to it. And it makes sense, but I still, that the description makes sense, but it don't make sense. Like, I hear those words together and that doesn't make sense to me. But if you were saying that to describe this album, I can see how those two words would come to you. But it is a dope album. Like I said, I'm torn about the distribution thing because I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of people necessarily to talk to about it. And that's like my favorite part about music is like sharing it with people and then having conversations about it or listening to music together with people and stuff like that. And I don't really have that opportunity because of the way this was distributed. And I get it because it's, you know, that's his art. You know, he's, that's their art. They have the right to distribute it and receive the compensation that they feel is due to them for it in whatever fashion they feel like doing. But I do wish more people had access to it right now. And I guess everybody has access to it. It's, you know, are you going to pay for the Luminary subscription? If you're on the fence, I say do it just for this album alone. It's a dope album. I also miss, I hope that, you know, maybe we get a physical thing or there's some way I could purchase it. I miss owning music. It's like, as much as I like this album, if I don't maintain my subscription to Luminary, then I lose access to the album. You know, and I've realized now, because I have a collection. I bought the card. I've been loading it up with like MP3s and stuff from my collection. And I've noticed that like stops at a certain point. Like there was a point where I stopped buying CDs and ripping CDs or even buying stuff from like the Amazon music store and downloading the MP3s. There's a point where I stopped doing that and just strictly did streaming services, Spotify and now Tidal. But that means that all the music that I've enjoyed, you know, that has been released and I've enjoyed past that point, I don't own. So if, you know, when my subscription's in or if I decide not to pay Tidal or I run out of, you know, whatever, I just lose access to what feels like damn near a decade worth of music. Because it's been a while since I bought like a CD or bought an album. Like you just pay for a subscription service. So I kind of definitely old in that way. Like I miss owning music. Like, is that weird? It sounds weird to say own with music, but I miss owning music. No Fear of Time, dope album. I wish I could play some of it, but that was, I feel like Yasiin would just appear and do a finger waving, finger wagging type, I don't know, dissertation in my face, and it would hurt my feelings. But I digress. Moving on to the more major thing. This is, well, at the time of recording this, today is Mother's Day. And I had a weekend, again, that I said, like, help me better appreciate mothers. So, you know, this is part of the Chef Elise update.
Out of Pepe!
This was my weekend with Chef Elise. And I want to say either Wednesday or Thursday of this week, I got an email from the school saying that a kid in her class had tested positive for COVID. And they have all these rules and stuff about, you know, if your child is vaccinated and asymptomatic, then, you know, they don't need to quarantine to come right back to class. If they're showing any symptoms, they need to quarantine for this amount of time. All of this was outlined in the email, but apparently this is like the 15th such email that they've sent this school year. And for whatever reason, the other 14 got past me. I only saw this one. So I reached out to my ex-wife and I'm asking her, you know, about Elise's vaccination status, which I'm sure she's told me already. And I don't know. I just glazed over the information and didn't retain it at all. But I say that to say, then Friday morning comes and I get a text from my ex-wife that Elise woke up and said, you know, woke up early and said she didn't feel good. And, you know, she was trying to question whether or not she should send her to school or not. And it was, you know, it was a little back and forth. Like, I don't, you know, I feel like if I'm not there and I don't see her and I'm not, you know, and I don't eat, if I don't see her every day to be able to judge this behavior versus yesterday's behavior, like, I don't know how to make that call. But I could tell, you know, she wanted some input in that decision, because my daughter's hard to read. She's really good at knowing how to push your buttons and knowing like what scares you and what trigger words to use to, you know, I don't know, throw you off. So you don't know when she's being dramatic, when she's really sick, or when she's trying to avoid something. And I guess at some point in the morning, it came out that my daughter felt like she was being bullied by a kid in the school, which pushed my buttons. And I'm like, you know, hitting my ex-wife, like, do we need to talk to the teacher? Do I need to go up there? Y'all remember Andrew? I went through the whole Andrew fiasco, and Andrew might have been 4 or 5 years old. Now we're talking about 6, 7 years old. You know, I feel a little more comfortable jabbing him if I need to. So I wanted to nip this situation in the bud. It turns out that bullying in Elise's mind is like not playing with her when she wants to play, or, I don't know, being mean to her or saying something she doesn't like, or not sharing something with her. It doesn't necessarily mean the kid's like physically doing something to her or calling her names or anything like that. So I got to relax a little bit on that one. But so the decision was made that, you know, Elise might have been, you know, exaggerating what was going on because she didn't want to go to school. She didn't want to deal with this kid. So anyway, you know, we ended up sending her to school. And so after work, I go pick her up from school like I do on our weekends where I have her. And I get to the door of the daycare. They don't really let you in. You like come to the door, they see you, and then they send your kid out. And so I could see her coming toward the door. And normally, you know, the moment she sees me, it's like, there's daddy. And she's excited and she comes to the door and we hug. And then she just starts talking, and then she doesn't shut up for like 2 days. Like, it's just nonstop. Daddy, daddy, and daddy, you got this. And daddy, guess what? And daddy. And, you know, you love it for like the first 15 seconds. And then when it's just, I've had Uber drivers like be like, she can talk, can't she? I'm like, yeah, she sure can. And you getting ready to drive off, I'm still stuck with it, bro. So she can talk. She goes. And I love it, but it is annoying. But this time I could see as she was approaching the door, like, I never saw her perk up. So I'm like, man, is she mad at me? Is she upset about something? She came out to school. She told me her backpack was heavy, so I took it off of her. And we got in the car, and, you know, the moment that she got in the car, she was just like, I'm tired. And she laid down and she went to sleep. She slept the entire car ride. I'm like, hey, something's wrong. And we get to my apartment, and I show her the car, and she's like, she's participating. Like, she's not like, I'm not in the mood for any of this, dad. I'm sick. She's just, you know, like, she just seemed like she's over it. Like, I just really don't care. But if you want me to see this car, I'm gonna go look at it, daddy, because it seems to be important to you. So let's go do this. So she went and looked at it. She got it in the car and sat down. Like, she went through the motions. It definitely didn't, at no point did it feel like she was like, oh, this is a nice car, I like this, dad. It was just like, okay, all right, this is your car. All right, look, oh, I'm getting in it. Look at me. Oh, you got a car seat in here already. Oh, let me sit down in it. Is this what you want? All right. Is this enough? Have we done it all right? I've seen it. I like it. Oh, sunroof. Yeah, that's real cool, dad. Thanks for showing me that. Are you good? Because I'm good. And so we get out the car, and I take her upstairs. And again, she gets in my apartment. Normally, it's stuff to do. She gets in, like, immediately, there's, you know, stuff. She's just going. This time, she, you know, turned left, went straight up the stairs, got in the bed. So, like, clearly, she's not feeling well. I just don't know to what extent. I let her rest for a bit. And then I eventually go up there, and I decided I need to take her temperature. I took her temperature. She had a fever of 103. And so I started to freak out a little bit. And mostly because, not because I, well, one, because of the the COVID alert that we had been given. And then, you know, I've never had her sick like solo. I've never, you know, I've dealt with her when she's coming back from being sick. Like, you know, I've gone with her mother to the emergency room, I think when she had the flu 1 year, and then I stayed with her when we came back out of the hospital for a couple hours, you know, not any real extended time. But we were out of the woods. Like, they had done what needed to be done in the hospital, and it was just keeping her hydrated until she felt better kind of situation. This was like, she's sick. It could be serious. And I need to handle this situation correctly, or it's bad. And I already feel like dads are like the, you know, the lesser parent. So, like, I can't fumble the ball because I'm holding it down for all dads ever. Yeah, especially black dads. And yeah, I'm letting her mom know what's going on. And, you know, and she's asking me about calling the nurse. And it's like, I don't know. I don't want to overreact. And it's like I said, it's a weird situation because when we were together, you know, I got to be like the straight man. Like my ex-wife could freak out. She could be the person that freaked out, and she was going to, you know, she was going to err on the side of caution, and, you know, and baby her or whatever you want to call it, be very nurturing and stuff. And I could be the one like, oh, it's nothing, you know, just let her do this, or she just needs to sleep it off, or, you know, if she's throwing up, she needs to get it out, just let her get it out, you know. And we could balance it that way. Like, I didn't need to freak out because I knew even if I did nothing, my ex-wife was going to do too much, which was going to be enough, if that makes sense. If I did nothing, she was going to be too much, and that would be enough. If, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, but in this situation, it's whatever's going to happen is going to be me. I got to do at least enough, you know, maybe not too much. I don't know. I'm freaking out. And so, yeah, we made it through the night. I eventually got her some Tylenol, and she threw up a couple times, and I had to clean that up. But I say all that to say, and you know, at several times during all of this, you know, I'm staying in communication with my ex-wife, and she said, thank you for taking such good care of her. And in my mind, it's like, you do this all the time. Like, as stressed out as I am, as much as I'm freaking out, and as much as I am worried about, you know, my baby, you know, and making sure nothing happens to my baby, I had to give her a COVID test. I had to do the nose thing. You know, and that's just, man, that's heart wrenching. Like, cause, you know, you trying to keep a steady hand and you don't want to stick jab something all the way up into her brain, and she can't stay still, and she's crying, and she doesn't want you to do this to her, but you got to do it to her. And oh man, it was tough. It was, and I just have to, and the whole time, you know, thinking to myself, like, this is just a random coincidence that on the weekend you got her, she got sick. In the 6-7 years she's been alive, you know, I say six, I know how old my daughter is, but she's in between 6 and 7. So shut the fuck up. In the time that she's been alive, like, this has happened several times. And most of the time you weren't around. And, you know, her mom is taking care of this. And moms take care of this. My mom, you know, took care of me through all of the illnesses and stuff that I had. And, you know, sometimes I like to, you know, I don't like to, but I have discussions with people about, like, my horror story from labor and delivery. And please don't shoot me. I understand that what I went through in the labor and delivery process is nothing compared to what my ex-wife went through. That does not mean I didn't go through something. That's all I'm saying. I understand it pales in comparison. It was a spa day compared to what she went through, but I went through something. And I would sometimes talk to people about that. And yeah, it's just, but again, like, you know, what are you, that feeling of like helplessness, and I couldn't, you know, as much pain as I saw my ex-wife in, and they got the heart monitor. They had heart monitors on Elise while she was, you know, still in the womb. And I'm watching the two heart monitors for the two people that I care about the most in the world. Like, And it's crazy, and you just feel helpless, and you can't do anything. And so I know that feeling, and I had that feeling this weekend when it's just like, I don't know what's wrong with her. If I make the wrong decision, if we don't take her to the hospital when we should have taken her to the hospital, if I give her this Tylenol, is that going to upset her stomach, make her throw up, and then she's going to be dehydrated and coming back from dehydrated? I got all these things going through my mind, and it was crazy thing for me. And just moms typically do that all the time. Like I said, I know my mom went through a lot of things with me and illness and, in situations where doctors didn't know what was wrong with me. And I can't imagine what that must have been like for her to watch her child be as sick as I was and nobody knew what was wrong with me. And then for her to have to keep going, and make sure I was taken care of and fight with doctors and take me to several doctors to figure out, until somebody could say, this is what it was. Can't imagine what that's like. So shouts to moms for doing all that stuff, for taking care of us. Everybody's here. Everybody that exists on this planet is here because of, the sacrifice that a mom made at some point. And it's dope. It's dope. So yeah, I had my little dose of trying to play mom this weekend, and I survived it. And again, I got the pats on the back for surviving it. And women, I want to say again, the pats on the back the dads receive for doing basic parenting stuff is not praise. It is a backhanded diss. It's completely. It's the most patronizing thing you could ever do is tell somebody, give somebody a cookie for doing what they were supposed to do. Or what other people do every day. But because you a dad, it's amazing because they don't expect shit from you. People think you're not capable of it. And I am in that group. I wasn't sure if I was capable of it myself. But we made through it. We made it through. And but it just made me realize that your moms make it through all the time. And most of us are here because their track record their record for success is unparalleled. When it comes to this type of shit. And it's not easy at all. Yeah, my mom and I talked a few times this weekend. And, I've told the story just a couple episodes ago about her, putting me out and sending me to my dad's house. And me doing the ghetto Indiana Jones thing under the garage door. But, and we had it. And there were just so many stories like that from my childhood. My mom and I just butted heads, constantly. But there's so many, I don't know. As annoying as it was, at this point, as at 40, I'm constantly telling somebody something. What my mom said and what my mom said, and I'm passing on stuff, to my daughter. I'm quoting her in the show all the time. And we talk now constantly. And today she was such a mom, I called her today to say Happy Mother's Day, and Elise was here, and I'm telling her about Elise being sick and everything, and she's giving me advice on what I need to do, as she gets better to make sure there are no setbacks, and talking to her about Elise and I having tea parties, and before the day was over, my mom was on Amazon, asking my opinion on tea sets, and she just ordered 2 tea sets for Elise, on her day, on mom's day. But, and I wanted to stop her, but I had to kind of realize that, that kind of stuff makes her happy. And that's, who couldn't love, human beings that derive happiness from caring for and nurturing others. And doing for others, and that's just moms in a heartbeat, I don't know, fumbling over my words. Maybe I'm a little emotional, or maybe it's late. I don't know, but shouts to moms. Shouts to my mom. Love you, mom. I thought about calling her and recording it for the show, but one, I don't want to exploit my relationship with my mother for monetary gain, and two, she might say some crazy shit. I think even if I told her, like, mom, record, you don't say nothing, that might work for like the first 5 minutes. And then 5 minutes later, she gonna say something and I don't like to edit. So that made that decision for me. But I hope everyone out there, all the moms out there, had a happy Mother's Day. Hope everybody had a good week. I hope if you get a chance, you listen to that Black Star album. I hope you don't run into me on East 5th Street in Austin, because that seems to be the place where confrontations happen for me. So if you see me, just catch me on another street, not East 5th, not the good street for me. What else? I don't know. I want the best for everybody. I hope everybody's cool. I hope everybody can learn to disagree without disrespect. Some things that have happened that have been highly, divisive. You know, they've been, you know, they're people that are completely diametrically opposed on, you know, certain events. However you feel about it, you don't have to put the other side down to make your point clear. I think if you can sell me your point, sell me how truthful and honest and correct your point of view is without telling me how stupid and asinine my point of view is, you have a much better chance of pulling me to that side or convincing me that you're right. But if all you can do is tell me how dumb I must be for thinking how I think, you've just created the enemy, and that's unnecessary. So if you have a point, tell me what's great about your point, not what's fucked up about mine. Tell me what's great about yours, and we can have a discussion from there. But disagree without disrespect. I think we can do it. I hope we can do it. I know we can do it. But with that said, normal calls to action. You know my man, Zaya Fitness. Hit him up, livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you need to be with your nutrition and fitness goals. I'm trying to lose some weight in preparation for this PodFest Memorial Day. I just went through and set up my agenda, what classes and stuff I'm going to go to. So I'm really looking forward to it. But right now I'm talking about Zaya Fitness, livealphafitness.com. Hit them up. He can get you where you want to go. And then it's still the summer of the algorithm. I'm doing swimwear this year, so I got bathing suits, I got swim trunks, I got the t-shirts, I got the definition t-shirts, I got the For the Algorithm t-shirts. There's always the logo stuff. I think they're all dope, and you should get one so me and Elise can go to Disney World or something. She wants a Barbie Dream House. Donate to the Barbie Dream House Fund. You don't got to donate. You can buy a shirt. Same thing. You get something, I get something, or Elise get something. But it's a win-win. It's a win-win. Nobody loses. It's impossible. But with that said, if you like what you heard here today, please leave a like or a review. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of these dope-ass rambling episodes. I do them every week at the last minute, but I'm consistent. It's coming. You know you can count on it. It's going to be there. And consistency matters in parenting and in everything else. But until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, me and your mama love you. All right, holla.